All right, welcome back into the Big Show, broadcasting live today down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, where we told you at the top of the show they are more than half through putting the new surface out there, the new field out there. But we're here today because once a year we like to sit down and spend some quality time with the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft. And we were going to do it. We normally do it during Super Bowl week, but you may remember there was a little bit of uncertainty at the time. March 5th would be the date in which we would find out whether we were dealing with an uncapped year or not. And so March 5th has come and gone, so we can talk a little bit more. It's great to see you.
Great to be with you, all of you guys. The only disappointment is I thought I'd have some of those great wedge fries from Fred and Steve's.
Oh,
and instead, our friends had skipjacks.
You know what? You are just. How much did they pay you to do this?
No. Skipjack. I came in and I saw my favorite sushi from Skipjack.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
I think you'll have some at the office tomorrow, hand delivered.
He keeps telling me you invite me down there.
We will personally pick you up.
But you told me Glenn intercepts the invitation.
Yeah, that's true. We've sent you about 18 of them.
You know, it's funny. Everyone here lost weight, but Glenn.
Hey, Robert, when you get there, you'll enjoy the tacos there. Absolutely.
Hey.
All right, can you help us out? Because we're sitting here, and we're waiting. Everybody's waiting for big breaking stories. No Bolden this week. You know, no Peppers. I mean, can you tell us anything? Is anything big happening?
Well, we formally know that Lee Bodden has agreed to, I think his agent might have signed the contract. It's in the process of sending it in now. You guys remember Adrian Morrell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
His brother has agreed to join us as a special teams, Marcus Morrell. I think he's been there a couple of years. Oh,
he was a linebacker out of, not Appalachian State, but somewhere.
I think it was Appalachian State. Yeah.
I'm impressed that you knew that. He's down in the Big Apple where our favorite long snapper, Jake Ingram's relative, Zach, he's coming out of the Big Apple up to New England. So, that's good. And
he's a very good special teams player, too.
I know he's won some awards there, so that's great. And a little disappointing news is we heard that we're told that Jarvis Green is going to be up there in Denver.
Denver, we saw that.
He has always been a very high-grade special guy, and it's unfortunate in this business you can't keep everyone that you want to keep. You have to make decisions and, a lot of things that you have to balance. But this is still an exciting time in the evolution and the development of the team for this upcoming season.
Can we ask you about the whole system and how it works? We've been talking a little bit about this afternoon. And people are asking this question all the time. The Patriots seem to go for, first of all, a lot of depth from top to bottom of the roster. You seem to like to bring in an awful lot of people to create competition at each one of the positions out there. For the crowd, does that make it a little bit more difficult in that you're not bringing in big, huge names? Obviously, Randy Moss comes in 2 years ago and there's excitement out there. Does that make it a little bit tougher from a marketing standpoint? But it seems to have been a successful system that Bill's employed here, as evident by the team of the decade.
Well, our mission, we're in the business of quality depth management. You know, when I first bought the team in the early 90s, we would sign a lot of stars, and I think we had 7-8 players that were all in the top 3-4 positions in their positions in the league. And this is a business where it's a very physical sport. If you lose someone to injury, you have to have depth. And if you don't have depth, you have a real problem. And we learned early on that how important the bottom third of the roster was and how it's like a stock portfolio that you're always trying to improve and move the pieces. And actually, when we start to develop a team and we have a pretty good system now, we think after, believe it or not, we started our 17th season since our family bought the team, and it's flown by. And, we sort of look at it like pieces of a puzzle that we're developing and putting together. And every year is different. you mentioned some name players that we didn't get, and I can understand fans are talk radio experts. It creates issues. But in the end, we're always comparing the players that we have and what the status of their contracts are with what the marketplace is, because everything in life is you got to say, what's the alternative? How do we improve? And this year, we feel that the players we've re-signed, take someone like Vince Wilfork, we don't think there's a better player in the marketplace for this team. For it's not just on the field, it's the practice, it's the chemistry in the locker room. I mean, you guys know how many games are lost in the locker room. You got a few bad apples who lead people along the wrong way. And so we have to put all that together. And we've been able to sign a number of our guys this year that we felt were number one or two in the marketplace. If we had to go out and sign someone else and bring someone else in here, we wouldn't have the same knowledge of that individual.
Does it upset you when people call the team cheap and you're sitting here with a system that you feel has worked for you effectively over the last decade, and yet that's thrown out there every once in a while? The Patriots are cheap. Some of the players have even thrown that out there from time to time.
Well, the way I look at it, why did we buy this entity? We were fans in this area, and we look forward to buying this team and trying to create something special. So we've had 16 years we've owned the team. There is no team that has won more football games in the last 16 years than the New England Patriots. We've gone to 6 championship games. We've won 5. We've gone to 5 Super Bowls. We've won 3. So, you know, people might find fault with the way we do something, but in life is about execution and not chit-chat and chatter, because there's lots of people that can talk a lot. But in the end, you judge us by our results of the last 16 years and the fact there are 32 teams. I'm pretty proud that we have the best one-loss record in that period. We don't do things, always do the right thing, but this is a dynamic business that we have to be flexible, go with the flow, and I think that 16-year record is pretty cool from my point of view. When people, if people want to say we're cheap, I don't know what that means. I understand certain players wanting to position themselves to maybe tell the marketplace, I think I'm going to be available, or that's okay. But in the end, we're concerned about how many football games we win at the end of the year. The headlines now, the discussion now, that's all parts of the puzzle. We, you know, but in the end, what happens in December, January, and February is what really matters to us.
So how much of your thinking when it comes to these contracts is we have an opportunity to win now, and how much of it is we've got to plan for the future?
It's, Steve, that's the balance that we're always doing. And I know this is immodest to say, because I've already said we have the best one-loss record in the last 16 years, but I don't think anyone has had the consistency. I mean, you look at the last decade, the 2 years that we missed making the playoffs, we were dependent on other teams. We're very close to making it. We're dependent on other teams winning their games to do it. But we've been a pretty consistent team throughout, and I think that's a real management struggle in this league, how to be good year in, year out, and that's what we want to do. So we're never going to sell our soul out for one season and say this is the year. We want to have a chance of making the playoffs and doing well year in, year out.
Now, you're a competitive guy. So at the end of the season, you know, it didn't end like any of us anticipated. How tempting is it to just be one of the fans and say, we need that receiver, we need that defensive back, you know, and like some teams become fans and overpay for guys, it screws up the whole system. How tempting is it for you to go to, let's get that guy?
Well, I am very competitive, and I tell you that after that Baltimore game, it was very depressing. I never remember a game starting out like that, where the opening play, the guy goes down, then Tommy gets strip-sacked, and you know, just things unraveled. I don't ever remember having a feeling like that. And believe me, we don't want to see it repeated. And we're trying to do the things that put us in a position not to have that happen this upcoming year. You know, in the end, it's such a dynamic business, and things change and teams change, and you always have to be on your toes and try to stay a couple steps ahead. We're doing things at this point in time that I'm excited that we have a lot of opportunities to improve our team. The draft this year is a deep draft. We have four picks, I think. That's 32, 20. In the first 54 picks, we have four picks, which I believe is more than any other team. And I'm hoping that those four people can, you know, be in our 45-man roster. You know, that's 10% of your team with an upgrade, hopefully, in that area.
It's amazing. You talked about 16 years now you've done this. It almost seems like it was yesterday. And I remember having an interview with you right after you had taken over the team, and you used the San Francisco 49ers as the model. I remember you saying that. I want to be like the 49ers. I want to be competitive every single year. Maybe we'll have a chance to win a few championships, but every single year. Isn't it funny that the 49ers went through a huge dip, and this has been the model franchise now over a good deal of those 16 years? How has it changed, and how is it changing right now in the recession? You've built what was an old, I won't say it, piece of whatever over next door. You've built this beautiful new facility here. You've built stuff around it. It's totally different from the old days. You had, and you may still have, 50,000 on the waiting list. But we're going through a recession right now. Your businesses, everybody's business is getting hit by all of this stuff. How different is it today, and how do you anticipate what it's going to be like here in the next few years?
Well, it's a very good question. You know, I think America is changing. I think the Western world economically is changing. I think I would encourage our people who are running this country, state and federally, that the most important thing we can do is create jobs. We can't afford a country that has permanent 10% unemployment. We have to make sure small and medium-sized companies can get loans, because they're the ones who are going to hire people and be entrepreneurial. Now, with that as a backdrop, we take Fred and Steve, who played on this team. They remember when they used to come to the old stadium, get in their cars and drive over to the hospital grounds and like Pop Warner play. And
Met State wasn't over there. Remember they used to have the barred windows all around us?
Yeah. And, you know, I remember coming when I was looking into buying the team and being there, and I said, this is an NFL team. And they're, you know, it's like Pop Warner.
It was strange.
Terrible.
And you know, you remember we had the racetrack and the dirt.
Yeah.
And so our family is very proud when we come down here that we've been able to develop and build this stadium. It's the only one without any public money. We didn't use PSLs. And it's really because of the great fan base we have here. And we're now privileged to have over 60,000 people on the waiting list. And we have to be very careful, though, that we're continuously meeting the demands of the fans, and that we're putting a quality product on, and it's something that they can feel comfortable coming here and make it a full day of entertainment. And that's been our stress, that people aren't just coming here to watch a game. It's camaraderie. We have 20,000 parking spaces. We've built Patriot Place to help support it. For those who haven't been to the hall, I hope they get there and see that. But this is our dream of an experience that we as fans dreamt about having and trying to make this place special. Now, the economy has complicated things, and so I think every business has to make sure that they're delivering a quality product. And people in this environment, I think there's a flight to quality. And actually, you can see the ratings. The NFL ratings across the country are the highest ratings in over 20 years. And I think people are staying at home more. I think we're the only mass audience TV product, the NFL, and we have to be careful not to mess it up.
I was going to say, is that a problem, though, in that more people are staying home, technology has improved, games are in high definition, soon to be in 3D, and you've got to fill a stadium out here. You've got your club seats, which are up, are they not up for renewal here in a year or two? In this economy, does that not make it more difficult? The football world is expanding because more people are into it, but they're watching it at home, and they're not, they may not necessarily show up here.
Well, we're trying to add new features and do things, you know, and I think, you know, Fred and Steve can speak to it, that there's a certain sense of camaraderie, of being with the people in the stands that you've been with, making it comfortable, tailgating, spending the time here, and have it be more than just the game. But we have some plans for amenities in the stadium that I think will continue to improve. You know, it's the same issue if you think about movie theaters. I don't know if you've had the chance to go to the showcase at Patriot and go to those Lux theaters.
Yeah,
and
serve you food
and you get comfortable seats, and, you know, you see what a special place it is. But more people are going to movies in America today than ever did. So there's something about a communal experience if you're giving it in a quality kind of way. And, you know, our family's going to continue to strive and push that. And, you know, if we're winning, it makes a lot more fun to come, because we all know how we felt after that Baltimore game. We don't like that feeling. And we're going to – I actually think, since we've opened Gillette, I think we might have the best one-loss record in this stadium. And a lot of that is the fan support and what they do.
But you also said something. You're making an experience. We went down to the Hall of Fame today, and they had the – War Veterans exhibition was phenomenal, and we saw the theater. You know, the kids can come down there and go to the stadium. When I played, you had to wear a bulletproof vest. I mean, it was horrible out there. Remember
Man.
That?
And you come did, here. You, did you like that movie? In
great.
I love it. I don't know if it's 12
minutes. It's a great movie, but there was one issue. Fred and Steve couldn't find themselves anywhere in the 12.
They were in it. They got to go back and That's see right. it again, and they'll find themselves.
I told Biasi, I said, look over Parcells' shoulder. I think you're hidden somewhere in the back.
He was behind
you.
I was up in the club seats where my first season ticket to Gillette Station. I had four club seats up there. So that's where they weren't showing the podcast.
Can I tell what Parcells used to call Steve?
Yeah,
and
then
here I am coming in, stardust in my eyes. Yeah. And he's calling him Beach Ball in the locker room. Beach Ball. You can explain why they called you Beach
Ball. Was it soft, round, and multicolored? That's what
he would. It was quite, you know.
Cute.
Yeah, he had.
He used to call me she.
You know what he called me? Nothing. He never called me.
That's what you just missed.
Yeah. Secretary called him and said, "You are no longer with the
team. No, thank you.
We don't need you anymore."
But it was, you were like his lost son, the big fat son.
Hey, Robert, why do I read every once in a while, and it usually isn't in the business section of the paper, it's usually in another part of the paper, the Patriot Place has somehow become a drain on the New England Patriots? I'm sure you've seen some of these articles that have popped up.
I've missed that one.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen
that.
Well, they're not related, so I don't know why anyone. I mean, they have a name because it's a known location. So anyone watching on TV would know that Patriot Place is where the Patriots would play, but they're not connected in any way. They're completely different entities, and that is a complete mystery to me.
Yeah, I don't know where it pops up. It pops up.
Well, I've never seen it pop up.
Yeah.
So,
People have written it and said it before that this could, you know, be a. I mean, it's like anything else. There are other owners in the National Football League that own other outside business. You've got box company, paper companies, and a bunch of other stuff, and they're all facing whatever everybody else is facing here in recessionary times. But I would think the football entity would be totally separate from all of that.
Well, the football entity is, the paper entities are, those entities, by the way, Patriot Place is doing fine, so I'm not sure, you know, I don't think retail is booming anywhere, but the restaurants and the Bass Pro and and all the other places are, you know, in this environment are doing pretty well. So that I can't speak to that. I know the business that my son Danny runs is international. That's pretty strong. And knock on wood, we got to get our government people here to make sure that small and medium-sized companies are getting loans and that the focus is creating jobs. And if we create jobs and grow the pie in this country, you can do all the other things you want to do.
All right, let me take a 90-second break. We'll come back. Fred and Steve are here. We're broadcasting live down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with a big show. Our special guest today, Robert Kraft, will be right back right after this. All right, back here in the big show, Fred, Steve are with us. We're doing it live down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Robert Kraft, our special guest. We do this once a year with the principal owner, the owner of the New England Patriots. This whole labor situation, I don't know how much you can really get into this whole labor situation, but how difficult, how different is it to operate in an uncapped year? Did you go through this and kind of try to figure out, navigate your way through this and say, okay, how do we operate now with the possibility, and now it's a reality, that we've got an uncapped year this year and possibly a lockout and no football in 2011? How does that play into your business plan?
Like I said to you folks before, this is a dynamic business. You have to plan for all kinds of contingencies. You have to think ahead as much as you can. But in every dynamic, volatile situation, there's inefficiencies. And if you're smart, you can take advantage of those situations in the marketplace. You got to stay cool. You know, and I don't want to criticize any of my fellow owners or speak about how they manage their operations. But I think this kind of environment creates opportunities if you're cool and you take everything in and strike at the right time. I think that's what we see. As far as the potential of next year, I can just tell you that I'm doing everything I can in my power. I'm on the commissioner has put me on the CC, which is the committee that negotiates our new labor deal, if there is one. And I remember 82 and 87.
I remember.
And, you know, it's a horrible time. And I must tell you, our fans, and I think fans throughout the country, the last thing they want to hear is squabbles between well-to-do players and well-to-do owners. And I can just tell you that I'm going to do everything I can to try to build bridges. And you got two former players here. And I'll just say this, with all due respect to all the great lawyers out there, you can never let lawyers run your business or run a negotiation without the business people stepping in. Because, you know, sometimes lawyers collect bigger fees when there's litigation. Yeah. If you and I'm not saying that's the case. I think I just think that the top people on both sides got to always – lawyers are trying to protect you and make sure you're covering all the pieces. But in the end, the business people have to step in at the critical time and make a deal. So I think that's the art of whatever we have to do here. And we got something great going in America now. Our fans are really into it. And I think responsible people on both sides, there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to have a labor deal in place before the 11th season.
I totally agree with you, because that's how the public's going to view it. They're going to look at it, well, these spoiled players who are making all this money, and look at how much money the owners have made over the years, and how many municipalities have given them money to build these big, huge stadiums. You didn't have that luxury.
Not this one.
You didn't get that, but a lot of them did, and a lot of them are hoping that they're going to get it in the future here down the road, and this may be very difficult for them. But how do you avoid that? The fans are not going to be happy with this, and yet the owners are pleading that they need to find ways of being able to get more money in the pot to invest in the future. And the players are sitting there saying, we like it the way it is right now. We want to keep it the way it is. How do you avoid the fans not getting upset about it?
No, it's a good question. And by the way, the fans should not be part of this, and we should be smart enough on both sides to work it out. The facts are we made a bad deal in 06, okay? It was a four-year deal with a two-year option. We had the right to opt out. We just did a bad deal. And in life, I'm sure many of your listeners are small business people or larger business people. In the end, you can't build relationships or do business without doing a deal that's good for both sides. And when it's too one-sided, in the end, it's going to cause problems. And right now, the ownership made a bad deal, and we got to fix it. So that the Patriots are going to be fine no matter what happens, because I think the most important thing is we maintain a system with competitive balance. Look at the Super Bowl this year, Indianapolis and New Orleans, two small market towns, highest rated program in the history of TV. We no longer have to say after MASH the second highest, like our Super Bowls. We now have the highest rated program. Look what it did for New Orleans. What a great – if the Patriots couldn't win, you know, not that I could probably ever root for Indy anyhow. But, you know, it was a great story for America and the power of the NFL and bringing a community together down there in New Orleans. But in the end, we have to do what we got to do to pull this together.
Let me ask you a question, though. When this was signed – some of the small market teams said this isn't going to work. Too much of a percentage goes to the players. And Gene got it through a tag taboo, and there was a rift. This was one of the first times there was a rift. You knew that this was too lopsided.
No, we didn't know.
Well, some of the, not you, but some of the,
Ralph Wilson,
some of the small market players back then said, this is not going to work for us.
And it's very important that we have competitive balance. I believe going, you know, if we don't, you know, so if it would be a shame if our sport became like some of the other sports where, you know, every team today in the NFL, 32 teams at the beginning of every season can hope to make the big game. I don't think any of the other leagues can say that. And I'm, you know, and I hope we don't mess it up. And I promise you, I'm going to work very hard to do anything I can do to make sure that doesn't happen. But, you know, I want to just segue for 1 minute. You were talking about Patriot Place. We have a great Partners Healthcare there with Mass General and Brigham. And
I know them well.
I know Mia just celebrated her second birthday, February 28th, and Children's. And that whole Gary Gottlieb and the whole Partners system does a great job. They have a great facility down here, and that's something that's building and doing very well. And I'll tell you, we're lucky. We all collectively are lucky to live in a region, in an area where we can get the kind of medical care that we all have access to. You know, just another reason that we need good New England Patriots fans to stay good and healthy. And using Partners, they do.
I love Gary Gottlieb and all those people. They were great.
They're terrific
folks.
Great to me.
When you talk about this whole labor situation, how difficult is it when you have two groups that are so entrenched right now? You just said it was a bad deal. The Players Association obviously doesn't want to go back. So how do you, without constant lawyer...
But let me just talk to that. I just think since we bought the team, I think the salary cap was like 34, and now with fringe benefits, it's 150. So in 16 years, income has gone up 500%. I don't know how many of your listeners or lists... someone is a shareholder of Google or something, that their income has, their salaries have gone up 500% in the last 16 years. I think the players really understand they got something good. We got to keep it going. We got to figure out how to keep growing it together. Right now, it's out of whack. We have teams, and, you know, we might be in... considered in this category that won't go out and take risks to grow revenue because the margins are too small in this system. So why go out and do things where you're just going to lose money or trade dollars? And it's complicated to explain in this situation, but it's in the best interest of everyone if ownership goes out and takes financial risk to grow revenue, and it's shared appropriately. And right now, we made a mistake. People make errors. People make mistakes. The deal doesn't work for both sides. And that's what I'm talking about, is having a deal where we'll have competitive balance long term. The Patriots are going to be fine no matter what happens. We're in a big market. But I don't think it's good for the sport long term not to maintain this special balance that we have.
The NFL had a couple of decades dealing with Gene Upshaw with the NFLPA. DeMaurice Smith, the new executive director of the association, how's he working with NFL management so far?
I think he's working well. You know, he comes once again. I hope in the end he's a businessman. You know, his background, he's a brilliant speaker and very capable, but he's a litigator and a lawyer. And now he's in an environment where he's got to be a businessman. He's got a lot of lawyers. You go to a negotiating table, and I think there's like eight lawyers there. I'm looking for the finance people, you know, and they have a lot of older players there. But I think he's a smart man, and I hope in the end, you know, this is about doing – life at this point is about doing deals, understanding both sides, understanding one another, and concluding a deal when you got something good going.
But here's the problem also. You have risk to make money. They're going to make a profit because the players really, they have a physical risk, but they don't have a financial risk. You have a financial risk, which you have to turn a profit in order to invest in the future. I don't know if they understand that concept. In order for you to invest in the future and you to...
not just to make a profit, it's to pay off the debts that take the risk. But we have something so good that we can work together to do it. It's just both sides have to be able to moderate. What, you know, first of all, you got to understand the problem. Because, you know, as long as you understand it, then you can solve it. Right now, I don't think it's fully understood, and that's what our committees are trying to work together on both sides. But in the end, it's about people on the business people doing a business deal.
What's the difference between him and Upshaw? Upshaw was a player and understood the complexities of the game, and this guy is more of a Washington insider type litigator, clean hands. Is you find a big difference negotiating with the two?
Well, Gene Upshaw was an offensive lineman. You know,
they're not that smart.
Right, so there's limited intelligence.
Not so smart.
Not kidding.
Well, look what's happened over the last... For a guy who wasn't smart, he did pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
He did too good, the last one. And, you know, I'll just say this to you guys. As businessmen, you never want the other side to do a bad deal because it's going to slow you down. Because instead of looking forward and doing things, you're always looking over your shoulders how you clean up something that isn't sound. And Gene did a great deal, and our side agreed to it, and we lived up to it. But now it's not working, and we got to change it. We got to change it so for the next 10, 15, 20 years, the business is sound. And I think we have a chance to do it. And it's, you know what, the general public who doesn't really understand the game of football don't understand how great these players are. How guys like you, how it's a sense of team. It's not a sport where one or two guys make the difference. You need a team. You know, I think of that 0-1 team where when we won our first Super Bowl was, you know, a bunch of guys who came together. There were no fancy stars. They pulled it together, and it was just a great inspiration. And that's what the NFL is about at the core.
I got a kick out of you talking about the lawyers because I think you're right. In the end, those are the guys that make all the money. If this thing's extended out, they're the ones that get all the billable hours. Having said that...
Be careful, though. I love lawyers. I really do. You know, what Shakespeare said doesn't matter.
No. So lawyers wouldn't do that, would they? Especially not divorce lawyers.
No,
they wouldn't do that.
Wonderful.
But how do you prevent that And you've done a million business deals, and most of the time these deals are done when you're up against the wall. When you're finally at the midnight hour, that's how they work out. But here you go. You go past March the 5th, so we have an uncapped year. Everybody knows how you're doing. What incentive is there to get any deal done between now and next March? And then when you get past March, the owners now have the security because they're going to have the TV money is still going to funnel through to them. The players apparently are putting war chests together on the other side. How do you finally get to that point where both sides finally say, we got to do a deal? Other than the lawyers making all the money, as you said.
Well, you know, there'll be a lot of posturing, and that's okay, and process and everything. But in the end, there's enough here that I'll be shocked if we can't come to some kind of resolution. I know I'm personally going to do everything I can do to try to be a bridge builder and bring the sides together because I believe the problems are solvable. And we have a great – it's not like we're in a dying industry. We're in an industry where people want to see our product, where people want to be part of it. And we can't forget that. And – we can't abuse that, and that's sort of what's sad about this. But life is, unfortunately, we all have problems that come up, and you got to deal with them, and you got to put it on the table, and you got to make it happen. And I feel deep down that, with all due respect to the posturing, that both sides, as long as business people are looking at the facts, will make the decisions and we'll get a resolution to this.
I got a picture that was sent down here a couple of hours ago. Vince signing his new deal with you over his shoulder. He looks pretty happy there.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a gentleman, isn't he?
Oh, he's you know, people love him. You know, I tell you, he and Bianca are a great team. He has a lot of confidence in his wife, and I like to see big, strong guys who feel vulnerable and trust their women partners.
Fred.
You gotta pick the right one. That's right. The key. But it's interesting to see the dynamic of the two of them. And they work together as a team well. But we're so lucky to have Vince as part of this team. And, you know, he's going to be here at least for 11 years now. And he has great respect in the locker room. He's one of my favorite guys, and if you know him, you know he's just a great guy.
Yeah.
And
we love him.
And he's good. And I hope people get him angry because when he gets angry and gets a little nasty,
and he's the best at what he does.
Yes, hello. That. So there you got it. And
you're not that cheap. You're paying him accordingly.
I don't think we've ever been in that category. No. I can understand people. One, here's the deal. We pay for quality, and you said it. You know, you have business people in your audience. I'm sure they run their businesses. Just because you go spend a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to be successful. The trick is to try to spend it wisely and prudently and let it build on it so you can get other things around it that can flow from it. I think this move with Vince and also Tully. You know, I think Tully doesn't maybe get all the full appreciation. I don't know. What do you have? Ten sacks this year? And then Lee Bodden, you know, basically after Dante Robinson, he was really the top cornerback out there. And when you think about how important that position is and what he's meant to our team and have him back, and it's a guy we know. We know how they are in the locker room. We know all these guys want to win. And so I'm pretty excited about that.
All right, before we wrap up, we had the opportunity to go into the hall beforehand, and other than the fact that Fred was a little upset and Steve was that they weren't part of the film, the 12-minute film of the history of the New England
Patriots.
We're
in the credits.
You got a terrific new exhibition. I had not seen, apparently.
It
just opened
so
up. Football in America with the Armed Forces and players, and it was some of the stuff. First of all, they had the list of NFL people who had been in the armed forces. Steve Belichick is one.
Served
on
in
that,
World War II.
We had some people ask, where's World War
I?
You know, World War II. And,
the Tom Landry story got me. Now, I did not know this.
Yeah, I knew that. That was a good story.
You knew that, that Landry actually was shot down a crash landing of his plane. Obviously, he survived. But that's another unbelievable story. And he was in a lot of different missions and stuff.
30 different battle missions.
But it was amazing. And Pat Tillman, obviously, is
displayed. Pat Tillman was very moving to me.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's amazing to me. And, of course, the other than Tillman, we don't see this a lot with the latter-day players. But the older players, it's amazing how many of them were in the armed forces and also played football.
Yeah, it was a very moving exhibit. And we had people come down from all the different branches of the armed services, and actually the guys who do the flyovers. And actually, one of the moving things, you know, we started the tradition of going to Walter Reed with the Super Bowls. We went and after 9/11, I mean, in 02, when we went to the White House lawn in the morning, we went, and there was a young man who came up to me, was at when we opened this exhibition, with the double prosthesis, that he reminded me. I had visited with him with Bruschi and Izzo at Walter Reed when he was just starting his rehab. And now, what, 6-7 years later, he's here at this exhibit, lives in Western Massachusetts. It was really something. But, you know, for those of you who might care and like hockey, we Thursday night we have the U.S. Olympic women's hockey team coming to the hall at 4:30. They're going to be with the trophies and touring the hall, and then there'll be a free skate at our skating rink here at 5:30 Thursday night. So maybe you'll all don your instead of having to drive over to the Rentham to the hospital and practice, you can go from the hall, put your skates on, and have a free skate.
You have the triple blades.
Free skate at Patriot Place.
Double runners.
We highly recommend
this. Get kids to push Glenn around the ice.
We highly recommend this football in America. It really is a terrific.
It was excellent.
The Art Donovan. The Art Donovan stuff's hilarious. It's very good. There's some really.
The BC boy.
Yeah, there's some really some interesting.
And if you hadn't seen the hall itself.
The hall's great.
It is.
The hall's great. This is one final thing. You've 17th year coming up. I remember when you first bought the team. And Myra thought you overpaid for it. Apparently, that didn't. She was
pretty good profit.
First time Myra's been wrong, right? She was not wrong.
First and only
time she's been wrong.
Although I must tell you the story. Yeah, go ahead. We got time.
No, go ahead. You tell me your story.
So this is, you know, I'm thinking of your friend Parcells too. So we just bought the team.
Not your friend. It's his friend now.
Yeah, it's my friend too. He actually said something. He grabbed a hold of me and said, you know, he wished that we would have done great things together. We have a great relationship now. But I'll never forget the night after I bought the team, and I'm home and I'm reading in bed, and the phone rings about 10:30, and Myra thinks I've gone completely nuts buying the team. And it's Bill on the phone. He goes, I'm reading, she's reading. He says, you know, we got to sign our left tackle. So I'm a big shot. I just bought an NFL. I said, sure, Bill. What is that? You know, what does that mean? You remember, it's 1994. Right. Michael Orr wasn't there. Michael Orr. And he goes, well, it'll be $10 million for a four-year deal. So I go, $10 million for a four-year deal. Now, we just paid the highest price ever paid for a franchise. Myra leans over going, no. I said, okay, Bill, sign him up. I hang up the phone.
All you did was read
and
that
she
night.
Says, no, she says, is the summer house in my name? she was nervous.
I remember that. I do remember that. So the question I was going to ask you, you've done all of this, and yet I wonder if there's anything that you regret, anything you didn't do that you wanted to do through those 16 years.
It's a good question. Anything I didn't do. Well, you know, everything is a learning experience. I really can't say there was. The only thing that people could question is I had a chance to have Bill Belichick be the coach in 97.
Why didn't you do it?
And, you know, I labored with it very, very hard. I probably wasn't ready, and I don't think I had so much of what had gone on at the Super Bowl, and Bill Parcells didn't fly with the team, and I thought anyone who could be loyal to him, I didn't, you know, I just wanted to change of pace. And Pete Carroll was great. And having had the experience of both and Bill Parcells and Pete Carroll, I think I was more ready for ownership for a guy like Bill Belichick. And I think Bill Belichick also evolved down in New York in ways that improved him, that got him ready for the position. So the only thing I could think about, and I've never really thought about it till you just asked this moment, that's the only thing, but in retrospect, it probably was better that we connected when we connected than if we had done it right then. Because I also think Pete Carroll was a great coach and did a lot, you know, and I wish him well, except when he plays us.
Well, people don't remember that Pete was probably a hotter commodity in the coaching ranks than Belichick was at that time, too.
When he was, hello.
Yeah, he was very.
I got my head handed to
by
me.
Myra
when
again?
No, Myra. She doesn't know. She only has input in the financial area. When I hired Bill in 01 or 2000, forgetting then. But it was good because I learned about coach. I learned about colleges. I learned about, you know, Pete had experience at the Jets. So I thought there was and, you know, he had the experience of both. And he was a great guy, and really, it was a great experience the 3 years had with him, and it was a rebound kind of thing. So, life is about relationships develop, and in any business, you learn every year. Hopefully, intelligent people try to learn.
Robert, great seeing you again. Great sitting down and having this chat. We'll plan it again next year. And why don't we plan it on that Friday of the Super Bowl? All right.
Please God.
Let's do it.
Please God, we're in it, and it's in Dallas. So.
There you go. Great
scene. We'll put up with Dallas.
And we'll take it on Fred and Steve. For a big,
with those clogged arteries, wedge fries.
Yeah,
wedge fries.
Do we have
delicious
onion
rings,
too?
Anything you want.
Whatever you want.
We'll balance it off with some skipjacks and Davios.
Absolutely.
Those Davios. What do you call those Davios?
Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak. Yeah. Why isn't it? Patriots cheesesteak. Will you get them a change?
I think you can work
spoke
on
to
that.
Speak to Steve and have him change it.
Because it'd be too expensive to the Patriots because Philly, you know, it's a name.
Thanks.
We won't charge anything for it.
Thanks again. Great
to be with you guys. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.